Have you ever heard the expression, the good life? Have you ever heard that expression? I could probably ask you this morning, what the good life means to you. I could ask you that question. What does the good life mean to you? And I bet you I could go around this church this morning, and I bet you I could get all kind of different answers what the good life means. Or you go out here in the world and you can ask them. You know, some think going to a sporting event is the good life. Some think hunting, fishing, boating, having a good job, decent wage, a nice home, great vacations, family healthy. And you know what? Nothing's wrong with any of that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? If we keep it in the right perspective. But what happens is so many times, as long as that list I give you, as long as the good life that you're talking about has God at the top of that list, you know what? Amen. That could be the good life. But just those things in particular by themselves doesn't mean that you're living the good life. I hope you understand that. God is the one who gives us this good life. You understand that? God is the one who gives us what we have. And what we're ever hopeful to accomplish in this life, what we're ever hopeful to do in this life, I want us to understand. I want everyone in this church to understand whatever we're able to do, God is the one that gives us those things. He's the one that gives, you know what? He deserves a lot more time than what we give him. Amen? God does. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 tells us, "See that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord." You know what, I'll get to our main scripture, but I'm going to read for the sermon here in a little bit. But you know what, I believe the world today for a Christian, I believe this, is there's greater enemies of the Christian today than probably what there was even in the time of the prophets, even in the time of the apostles. And you say, well, how can that be? Did they not throw them to the lions? Did they not hang them up and use them as human torches? Yes, they did. Did they not fillet them as they would a fish? Yes, they did. That's what they did to Christians in that day. Then how can you say, preacher, that you think today there's greater enemies of the church today than what there was then? You know, in the world today. Why? Why am I saying that? It's because the church come, let the world become real friendly with the church. And so in turn, we don't recognize who the enemy is sometimes. Amen? We don't recognize what the good, you know, they would talk about the good life. But you know what? They don't understand. They don't, a lot of people don't understand what that good life encompasses, do they? They don't understand whenever they say that we live the good life. They don't understand sometimes what it really does encompass. And I'll tell you what, I believe that the world has lost its appearance, its will of the evil that's in this world. The church has done that. Oh, the world is a nice place to live. Don't get me wrong. I love this world that we live in. I love the things of this world. It's this, because of the comforts and the luxuries that we enjoy, but that's the point of it, you see. That's the point. Too much of the good life can be a detriment to our Christian walk if we're not careful. And part of it, it turns into these fads and these fancies that a lot of people run to nowadays. I want you to know they tear a Christian walk down sometimes. They tear us down to where we don't see who the enemy is, Jay. We don't see it sometimes because we have become friends of this world. A lot of people have become friends of this world. 1 John 2:15-17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen? Amen. You will talk about good life, that's good life right there. That is the good life right there. Life in Jesus Christ means to us Christians, we live in this world, but we are not controlled by this world. Amen? We should not be controlled by this world. Paul gives us some good teachings. And I'm going to get into that right now. And on how we should live the good life for Jesus Christ. If you would, over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 21st, this is what we'll get into. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you again for this beautiful Sunday. I want to thank you for your spirit that have felt here so far this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you continue to move amongst the church, Lord, this morning. I continue to pray, Lord, that you stir our hearts, Lord. Help us, Father, to always do what you'd have us to. Help us, Father, to realize and to live the good life through you. In Jesus' name, we do ask, and amen. You know, the first thing that Paul's trying to teach us is that we should put away the former life. Look at verse 20 and 22 again, right there, where it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as a truth in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." We have got to learn. If we're going to live the good life in Jesus Christ, we have to remember we need to keep the old man away from us. Amen? You know what? There was a man, he drove by church every Sunday. And when he went by the church, he'd be taking his boat with him, and he was going to the river, going to the lake, going somewhere with his boat on Sunday morning. Every Sunday. And he would look at those church people, sitting, the church was full, and he would look there and he would say to himself, "I am so glad that I do not have to go there this morning, that I can go do what I want to do." You know what? After a while, he had some friends that went to church, and some friends kept talking to him. And you know what? That man got saved. And he started going to church. And you know what? Whenever he was on the river, of course, he was down there, he was drinking. You know what? He just thought he was living the good life. He got saved, and he started going to church. And I mean, the Lord really saved that man. Went to church for a couple years there. And you know what? He had one bad week at work. And with that bad week at work, and he still kept his boat, and he still go out on Saturday, but he never go out on Sundays. Well, this one week, he had a bad week. And he decided to himself, "I'm going to take the old boat back out this Saturday so I can go out on the river and relax again, you know." And he wasn't drinking or anything like that. Come Saturday, it was raining like crazy. Couldn't get his boat out to go. Got up the next morning. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. You know what he decided to do? He decided to take his boat back out to the river. What he decided to do. And he went right ahead. He waited. Everybody was in church. Took his boat and went right back to the river. Went right back down. Didn't take nothing to drink. He thought, "I can handle it. I'm going to drink it. I just want to go and relax today. I want to just go out on the river and relax." You know what happened after that? He kept going to church maybe once in a while. Then what he would do, he would not only go maybe once a year. Then after that, they kept going and talking to him. You know what he did then? He ended up, he took the old boat back on the river. He got to drinking again and drinking, carousing around again, and ended up, he got away from the old self. You see what happened? Whenever the man was born again, he was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? He let the devil get back in a little crack in his life. And you know what it says? We should put away the former things of this life, brothers. We've got to stay away from these things because those things can bring us back to where we don't want to be. Amen? Amen. You can do that. You know what? You listen. I don't care. You may be having a bad week. You may be things in your life that's going on. And you know what the devil does? The devil will hang around there because he knows, you know what? He knows just exactly where your life was and where he brought you from. And what he can do is, what he tries to do, is try to get a little crack in there. And if he gets the opportunity, bang, before you know it, you're going to be back out there doing just exactly what you used to do. That's why Paul tells us right there, he said, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We've got to get the old man away from us and keep him away from us. There isn't a one of us in here that is above that. I want you to know, this preacher's not above it. You're not above it. I don't care. It can be pulled right back down the same way that you came from. You know what? Before we know it, we're going in the opposite direction, going the wrong way. And you see what Paul told us. It can be anything that you love more than God. It can be anything once that you have been delivered from. It could be any of that. Don't start back down that slippery slope. Don't do that. Don't start back down it. The devil can make it look so innocent, you're not like you used to be. You can handle it. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You tell any recovering alcoholic, and you ask them, is it okay if I go take a sip of alcohol? No way. Why? Because if they think they can handle it, before they know that one sip turns into a bottle of it, before a bottle turns into a case, and before you know it, they're back into it again. And I want you to know you cannot do that with the sin God delivered you from either. Amen? You cannot do that. You can't handle it. You think you can, but I want you to know you cannot handle it. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not. This is why. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting a battle against the devil and his demons out there. And if you try to do it on your own, let me give you some words of advice. You are going to lose. You're going to lose. It doesn't matter how much of a saint you think you are, because one time those saints were lost too. Amen? It doesn't make a... The devil makes sure he's part of that old life that's hanging around you. And how can we fight this? Allow the Spirit of God to deal with us and talk to us whenever we head into these situations. Don't tell me. I know. The Spirit of God will... If you've got Christ in your heart and the Spirit of God's around there, just like the devil's hanging around, the Spirit of God will direct you and let you know if you're heading in the wrong direction. Right? Amen. He will do that if we listen to it. If we listen to the Spirit of God, He will direct us away from that stuff. Praise God, we need to resist. Remember the old saying, idle minds and idle hands do what? It's the devil's workshop. Exactly right. I'll tell you what I found out in my life, and I hope you find out in your life. If I keep myself busy with the things of God around me, I'm a whole lot better person. If I have time on my hands, that's the time that the devil wants to work on me, and he does the same, I'll guarantee you too. The less we are tempted to do the devil's work, let the Spirit lead us to read God's Word more, to pray more, to serve Him more. Praise God. We do those things. The devil can't have an opportunity to get it. I'll tell you what I found. If we keep our minds full of God's Word, I'll tell you what, there's less chance of the devil getting in there. Amen? There is. God can do a better job keeping us from sin than we can. Amen? You agree with that? I believe God can. Another thing Paul's telling us too is to put on the new life. Ephesians 4:23-25 tells us, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Put on the new and better you. I want you to know something. Whenever I got saved, it was an improved Dave Long. Yeah, I told you that. And I guarantee you, the moment that Christ comes into your heart, you may look the same. You may dress the same. You know, I don't know. But I can guarantee you this. From the inside out, you will be a better you. Amen? Where your mind won't think the same way. Your heart won't think the same way. Praise God. You put on. We are better in Christ than we are without Him. Amen? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, you clean up nice? Have you ever heard that saying? I've heard it. I've heard it once in a while. I've heard that saying. You clean up nice. You know that? I want you to know something. God's looking down at you. I don't care what you've done in this life. He's looking down at you and He's saying right now, you're going to clean up nice. You're going to clean up nice. And God can do it. God can do it. God's looking down saying, you may have an old scrubbly beard. You may be, you know, rough looking. You know, I don't know what to say. You may have long hair. You may have short hair. You know what? You may have curly hair. You may have straight hair. You may not have any hair at all. I don't know what your situation may be. You may wear makeup. You may not wear any makeup. But praise God, it makes no difference as long as God is living in your heart. Amen? That's what makes the difference. It doesn't make any difference about the rest of that stuff. Sometimes somebody will compliment me on the way I dress. Once in a while, they will. And you know what I tell them? I will just generally say to them, you know, Tink dresses me well. That's what I tell them. And she don't literally dress me. I know you understand that. But brothers and sisters, she will pick out clothes for me. And praise God that she does, because you probably wouldn't want to see what I put together as far as color goes. I am colored blind. But you know what? She has good taste when it comes to clothes a lot of times. You know, she has good taste. She married me. What else would you think? I got that rolled back in my head, the eyes look, I better go on. You see, God has very good taste also, amen? He does. God has very good taste. You let Him work in your life, you let Him do a work in your life, and you look and see how God and what He can do, amen? He knows what it takes to put on the new man. For us, it's to be Christ-like, amen? I'll tell you what, before you knew Him as a personal Savior, before Jesus came into your heart and you were saved, you knew what your life was like. There isn't anyone in here that has never been born again cannot tell me that their life has not been better since Jesus Christ came into it. I'll tell you what, one way God wants us to be Christ-like is to imitate other Christians. And you say, why should I look at other human beings? Why should I do that? We know 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Why was Paul saying that for? Because Paul was telling them, you look at me. Paul wasn't afraid to say that. He said, you look at me and you imitate the things that Christ had put in me. Get rid of the bad stuff. All of us have bad things in our life. I know that. There's things in our life that we work on a daily basis. I don't want people to imitate me because of that. But if you follow me and you watch me, imitate the things that of Christ that are in my heart. Amen? They're in my life that I show. Imitate those things. I know people shouldn't imitate us to the T. I know that. But godly traits that we show, I'll tell you what, as we show out here in this world, people can, especially younger people, amen? Especially them. The best way, of course, the best course of action, though, is what? Is to imitate Jesus Christ. Amen? It is, amen? You know what? The lover of human souls, that's what He was, amen? Are we lovers of human souls like Christ was? I hope we can be. I hope that we should be. But He was. No one was better or more opportunity to do that than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The one who gave it all on the cross. We need to imitate Him like no other. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne. Looking unto Jesus, the first part, amen. I'll tell you what, when we look unto Him and we follow His word and do, I'll tell you what, we can live the good life. We really can. When we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, listen to me, chances are we will become more and more like Him. Amen? Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, you're looking at one right here that's unlearned and ignorant. I'm going to tell you right now, I claim to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? And it said, the men that they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I hope and pray that whenever people look at you, I hope that they take a note and say, that person has been different. They've been with Jesus. Amen? Tell them, people, that, you know, Paul's telling us that we have another thing, too, to bring the good life. We need to put down the devil. Amen? In Ephesians 4:26-28, it tells us, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him bestow still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Got another story here for you. Just bear with me on this one. A man pulled up to a stoplight, and the light turned yellow, and he stopped right then because he didn't want to take a chance of going through when it was red. A lady was following him, was tailgating pretty close. She had to slam on her brakes and stop. And of course, she was giving him the devil for doing that because she wanted to get through that intersection before that light changed. Well, while she's there and she's really giving this guy the devil, she hears a tap on the window. Here it's a cop. The cop has her roll down her window and says, get out. Get out, I'm going to arrest you. She gets out, he arrests her, takes her to jail, puts her in jail, and she's in there for a couple hours. And another policeman goes down and gets her out and brings her back up there, and the arresting officer was standing here. And the arresting officer said, sorry, there's been a mistake. And this is what he said. I thought this was kind of good. He said, I've seen you blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cursing a blue streak at him. And said, then I noticed a bumper sticker on her car said, what would Jesus do? The Choose Life license plate holder. Seen that on there. He also, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker was on there also. And the fish, the chrome-plated Christian fish was on there. He said, I pulled up and seen that, and I thought you'd stole that car. You get what I'm trying to say. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. We allow the devil to do that to us. Do we not sometimes? We let ourselves get so aggravated, and you don't know who's watching you. You don't know what's going on, but you know what? People are watching us. I want you to know, there isn't a day that I don't go to work. Somebody's watching me. And I'll tell you what, they let me know if they think something that I'm doing is not right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, they'll come to me and they'll say, "Now, preacher, you're not supposed to get upset about that." And I have to bow my head down. I say, "Yes, you're probably right. I should not get upset about trying to tear this apart and not being able to get it." But you see, people watch us. They watch our lives. Yeah, that lady that day allowed the devil to get a foothold on her. Amen? He allowed that. You know, and wow, what a list. You know, if you read down through there, if you read down to the 32nd verse, it said, "Let him that steal, stole no more." And verse 1, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed." And 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and be ye kind one another." What a list that he give us right there. And that doesn't include all the rest of the stuff we can look at in this Bible. So God's telling us, through Paul, he's telling us, you know what you want? It's a good life. He said, you know what? Don't do these things. What a list he's telling us not to do. I guarantee you, if we listen to what the Word of God's saying, I'll tell you what, we can live the good life through Jesus Christ. Amen? We can do that, whether we realize it or not. Whether we realize, we can give the devil a foothold in our lives. We can do that. How do we put the devil down? How do we do that? By looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we put him down. That's how we do it. You know, looking to him. James 4, 7 and 8. "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The only way to put down the devil is to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You're not going to submit yourself to me. You're not going to submit yourself to anybody else in this church. You know what? And really, you may try that. You may try to submit yourself to someone else, some other human being, but I want you to know something. It's not going to get you anywhere like it would if you submit yourself to Jesus Christ and the will of God. I have found out in my life, in my Christian walk, the more that I submit to Jesus, the better Dave Long has become as a Christian, the better I am. You know what? The Bible teaches that all the way through it. The submission. That's the hardest thing for some people. Why? It's a pride in our hearts sometimes. It's that pride. I'm not going to listen to nobody. I'm not going to do it. You know what? If you carry that over into your Christian walk, you're going to live a miserable Christian walk in this life. We need to submit to Jesus Christ. The great power in submission, there's great power in it. Power over evil. There's power over the world. The devil himself. You want the good life? You want that? Put away the former life, brothers and sisters. Do that. You know, put on the new life that God has for you and grab a hold of it with all you can. And put the devil down. If you want to live the good life, Paul teaches us that. Right there in that scripture, right there. Praise God, I want to tell you something this morning. Submission to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Doing that, we can have a good life. We can have a good life. I'm not going to stand up and tell you, you're going to have every dime that you always wanted in your life. That's not the good life. That's not the good life. Some people want to put that after like that. They want to say that, but I guarantee you this, if you submit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. You'll have everything that you ever needed in this life.
Amen.
You'll have it. The Bible promises that. Everything that you've ever needed. Amen. They come and give us all.